T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Listen to every MLB game live.
In the deep left center field, it is high, it is far, it is gone.
Stream minor league affiliates.
The Midwest League home run leader.
And watch the best baseball highlights and look-ins on MLB Big Inning. MLB At Bat is your all-in-one live baseball subscription for only $3.99 per month.
Deep left field, it's gonna go! Alvarez ties the game!
Subscribe to At Bat within the MLB app today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
For the last several weeks, we have spent this half hour talking to folks who are running for their party's nomination for statewide office. And today, after a little break, I got to tell you, it's been a challenging few days for me. I like to be very polite, and I hope I'm professional and responsible in my chats with Democrat candidates. But if you know me, it's been a challenge. Let me just put it this way. It's been a challenge the last couple of days. We got Tim Hugo today, though. He's a Republican member of the House of Delegates who is running for lieutenant governor. And Tim, really, thank you for coming on this morning. How are you?
Hey, John. Thanks for having me. And thanks for being forthright with the Democratic candidates. You know, ask all of us. We should. We appreciate it. It's good for us, and it's good for people to know what's going on.
Yeah. You know, ask the questions, and then I try to get out of the way. Some people explain things in a way that makes sense, and then other people you go, oh, my God, I can't believe you just said that. But, you know, I'll let everybody make up their own mind. Well, you know, every person we've talked to, Tim, I've asked them to just start out with a little bio and tell me why you're running for lieutenant governor. So let me give you the floor, and you can introduce yourself for folks who haven't met you yet.
Hey, sure, John. Thanks. You know, a father, husband, member of the House of Delegates, a member of the House leadership for a decade, number 3 in the House, fighting for conservative values, the things we believe in, whether, you know, on business, on life, on taxes, on the Second Amendment. I've been on the conservative side time after time after time, and that's where I am. And John, I'm running because I've said this point blank. You shouldn't listen to the Republican candidates. Listen to the Democratic candidates, some of them you've had on here. Mm-hmm. Listen to what they're saying. And I said it ain't your granddaddy's Democratic Party, and it's not the Democratic Party of 5 years ago when they're talking about defund the police, when they were talking about, you know, the infanticide, the things that are just coming out, you know. And you've done real well, and thank you for kind of leading on this parole board issue. But when you talk about defund the police, these left-wing prosecutors, Commonwealth attorneys, and then parole boards, we've got a real danger to our families and to our communities. And so I'm running for a lot of reasons. We're going to open the economy, open the schools, but we need to protect our families. And I do think there's a danger out there because the Democratic Party today is not even close to what it was 5 or 10 or 15 years ago, and that's a threat to all of us.
You know, when I look at your bio, you are kind of cut from the classic mold of statewide candidate Virginia. William & Mary grad. Where were you born, in Norfolk or in Tidewater?
I was born in DePaul Hospital in Norfolk. Grew up in Virginia Beach. Somebody said, Tim, you grew up in Virginia Beach, you represented Fairfax County, but you vote like a conservative from the Valley. Mm-hmm. So
how do you get elected up there, though? With everybody acts like all of that is so blue and leftist that a Republican can't function. What have you done to be successful there?
Well, I mean, part of it is we worked well with, like, I'm pro-business. I don't run from where I am on life, on taxes, on the Second Amendment. And, mm-hmm. you know, look, it's constituent service, working well, and, you know, just trying to reach out to people. It worked well, and we'll continue to fight. So kind of my model.
Yeah. Do you think with the new demographics of Virginia that have changed, I mean, just honestly, there are a lot of people who are living in Virginia today who are not native Virginians, they're not third or fourth generation Virginians, that being a native is helpful, or does it hurt you? Because I've talked to a couple of people in the last few weeks who have very, you know, I'm not insulting anybody. You live here now. I welcome you to Virginia, but they're not the kind of people who without a long tenure in the state would have in the past been considered for statewide office. And boy, they're right in there. How do you think this plays?
Well, look, I don't think everybody is maybe as knee-jerk and Republican or conservative as they probably were 10 or 15 years ago. Mm-hmm. But that's on people like me. And that's what I did to reach out to different communities. Look, I reached out to the Korean-American community. I'd go speak in African-American churches. And I'm conservative because I really do believe in the values that you talk about on your show and that, you know, we talk about daily. I believe our conservative values win. But I think we've got to make an additional effort to reach out to communities to say, hey, why, this is why it's important to protect in your family if you're concerned about the parole board, if you're protecting your family about when the people they talk about defund the police. Because if they defund the police, it's going to hurt some of these immigrant communities first and worst. I think these are the type of things we talk about. Business, when you talk about closing the economy, who's going to get hurt first? Mm-hmm. And I think people need to realize the policies that the left-wing Democrats talk about is not good for their families, not good for their small business, not good for Virginia. But it's up to me and other candidates to get out there and articulate that message and spread the good word. And like I said, you know, from Virginia, you know, a guy that votes like he's from the Valley, grew up on the beach, represented Fairfax for 17 years by trying to just do that day after day. Worked well.
So now, with
we'll continue
that,
the fight. It's going well.
Yeah, with that experience in the House of Delegates, normally that would be the kind of thing that people would give you a big check mark for. But I've been surprised. Maybe it's just in the Trump era where some Republicans are very dissatisfied with quote-unquote establishment Republicans, people who've been around for a while, that they are either dismissive of someone who's been in the legislature or they're just looking for someone who's an outsider who will, you know, break all the china in the china shop. If someone were to talk to you and say, hey, you know, it's great that you've been there, but you're not a flamethrower. I need somebody who's not going to play the good old boy network. What would your response be to that?
Well, I probably wouldn't say I'm not known as an establishment Republican. I voted no on a lot of these. I voted no on all these tax increases that came through. I voted no on some of the things that some of the business folks, some of the establishment folks wanted us to do. So I'm a conservative. I just happened to win for 17 years being a conservative. And I just think that's the difference. I hear what they're saying about the establishment that go along to get along. No, I've said point blank, I want to change things because I do see a threat to our society. And John, I see it. I see, you know, when I say with ancient granddaddy's Democratic Party, I see a little tolerance on the left. Mm-hmm. I do believe they want to, you're seeing I used to think the indoctrination was just on the college campuses. Now you're trying to see it in the K-12. And I think they want to silence people like me and you. And our conservatives, and you're seeing this with, I call it censorship by Silicon Valley. And, you know, if people are concerned about the Second Amendment and all the other amendments, Fourth Amendment, when they get our voice, that's what these Democrats want to do. And I've been out there in articulating that message. I'm not running as a chamber Republican. I'm running as a movement conservative who knows how to win, who won in Northern Virginia, who votes very, very conservative and grew up in the beach. Somebody, Bob McDonald used to joke. He said, Tim, I'm from Fairfax and went to the beach. You're from the beach and I went to Fairfax. And I said, yeah, Bob. And they just don't know how conservative we are because we smile and are nice to people. And he goes, that's why we win. I said, that's exactly right.
That's interesting. The friendly aspect of it sure plays.
Tone matters.
Especially when it's sincere. Listen, let me take a pause and get in a couple of commercial breaks, if you don't mind. And I'll take some calls when we return. 833-804-1140. 833-804-1140. We're talking to Tim Hugo, who's running for the Republican nomination for lieutenant governor. I want to bring up COVID. And I've asked everybody who's running for this office what you would have done if you had been lieutenant governor for the last year working with Ralph Northam. What would you have whispered in his ear or yelled at him? That's next here on News Radio WRVA. We're back here, 9:20 on this Friday morning. I'm John Reed, and you're listening to News Radio WRVA. Tim Hugo, the Republican member of the House of Delegates, one of the few Republicans still representing part of Northern Virginia, running for lieutenant governor, seeking his party's nomination. Gosh, you know, a little less than a month now, Republicans have this unassembled convention where they'll pick a nominee. So Tim Hugo is with us live. I'm going to take your calls at 833-804-1140 if you've got questions for Delegate Hugo. But let me start out by asking the same question I've asked everybody running for this job. Yeah. If you had been the sitting lieutenant governor instead of Justin Fairfax, paired with Ralph Northam as governor during this COVID crisis, what would you have said to him? Is there anything you would have admonished him about or done differently than this governor has done?
Yeah, John, I truly believe that there was an overreaction, that when you close the schools and the economy, the danger to our families and to our businesses was great and long-lasting. I mean, you're seeing it in the schools. And I have to say, look at the disparity. You'll see there's some school systems in the Richmond area that are open or somewhat open. But you're seeing the Catholic schools are open, the Christian schools are open, the private schools are open, they're running. But the public schools are closed. And we're seeing some of these kids in public schools, I mean, 5 and 6 years old, left a home to try to figure out the computer and, mm-hmm. and classes online. And some of these kids are depressed. It's hurting them. They're set back a year or two. The same with our businesses. There's businesses that are never going to come back. And I think it's a mistake. We could have had masks. We could have, if you wanted, we could have had some social distancing. We could have done a lot of things, but we did not need to shut down the economy. We did not need to shut down the schools. And look, I enlisted in the, I don't know if you know this, I enlisted in the military at 28. I felt guilty during Desert Storm and I quit my job. We should have brought the military to help on the distribution. Other states have done it, you know, the National Guard of the vaccine. At one point, we were 50th and 49th in distribution. There's a lot of things we could have done mm-hmm. without shutting down the economy, without hurting our families, and without demolishing some of these businesses. Mm-hmm. And I really worried, John, about some of these kids that, especially some of these kids from, you know, homes that it's a little more challenging. The parents have to work, single parent.
Oh, yeah.
You know, they're going to be a year or two behind, and we need to do something for them. And we didn't have to have this happen to them.
Yeah. All right. Well, let me get to some calls because folks are stacked up here. We're talking to Tim Hugo, the Republican delegate from Northern Virginia, who is running for the Republican nomination for lieutenant governor. Joey is in the Fan. And we'll start with you, Joey. You're first up here on News Radio WRVA. Good morning.
Okay. Happy birthday, John. Love your program.
Oh, you're
Mr.
nice.
Hugo, Mr. Hugo, sir, my question to you is a very simple one. With the passing of the marijuana law, what do you feel is with the coronavirus is going to be a super spreader from all these potheads smoking bongs together, smoking weed in a joint together, smoking a bowl together? It could be a super spreader.
Let's talk about that. Yeah, Joey, thank you very much. Delegate Hugo?
Well, you know, I tell you what, Joey, I hadn't thought about the people smoking pot together being the spreader, but what I do worry about is on the border. You know, we have 100,000 people coming across a month and some thousands a day. A lot of people haven't been tested, and now they're being sent to other parts of the country. I do think that's a mistake that's going to be a problem, and I do think a lot of the federal government is bringing a lot of folks here. Starting talking about bringing a lot of folks here to Virginia that maybe haven't been tested. That's where we're going to see problems mm-hmm. from a governmental action. On the pot, I probably wouldn't have voted for that, but, I think what's going to happen there is, you know, the governor in his haste to, you know, move it forward, there's no regulations that are going to govern any of this. It's going to be a free-for-all, and it's going to be a mess, and I think we've got to worry about, again, what's going to happen with the gangs and the drug, and the gangs that are going to come in to distribute that pot in Virginia.
Boy, it happened fast, didn't it? The switch over took place. Democrats got in there, and man, they moved quickly on this. Hey, Taser is with us from the South Side. You've got us on speed dial, Taser. You've talked to a lot of these candidates. Welcome back.
I felt lonely all week. let's see. So, sir, last year, all the state's leaders sat on their hands and allowed the rioters to destroy Richmond's historical tourism industry and businesses in residential neighborhoods. And the lieutenant governor even marched with them. Now, 911 calls were not responded to. Citizens who stood against them were arrested. Would you have advised the governor differently? And is there any way that you can protect ordinary citizens of all races in their homes and their businesses? Thank you,
Taser.
Yeah. Taser, believe it or not, I used to have a condo a block off Monument Avenue on Park Avenue between Robert E. Lee and Jeb Stuart statue. And sometimes last year, you could smell the tear gas from the condo and the craziness that was happening there. And I saw it. And I tell you what, it was wrong on the condos. But I tell you what was wrong even is anything, Taser, is what they did to Broad Street from the Capitol all the way down to VCU all summer long. It was nothing but plywood, spray paint, and vulgarity. And I say that it wasn't just that it was tolerated by the governor. It wasn't just tolerated by the mayor. I believe it was encouraged. They didn't care. They let it happen, and it's a blight. And Richmond had come a long way. And what happened because the governor and because the mayor let everybody riot, you know, it ruined businesses up and down Broad Street in what was once a vibrant community that had businesses, minority-owned businesses, small businesses, all sorts of businesses. It got corrupted. It got destroyed. It was wrong.
Could you have done anything differently?
Video.
Do you think?
I'd have gone out there and said, absolutely. You should have arrested those people when they're rioting. You should have arrested those people. John, they wrote Blue Lives Murder on spray paint out on boards out there on plywood and posted it on businesses. Blue Lives Murder, that is outrageous. That's what they are writing. And the governor and the mayor should have been out there, you know, just saying this is wrong and arrested those people. Absolutely. It's ridiculous.
Yeah. Well, let's hope there won't be a repeat, but I do think I think the people who've been in office for the last 12 months while this happened need to be held accountable. And it's important that as Virginians make decisions about the new leadership, that we decide whether we want more of this or not. Tim Hugo, the former delegate from Northern Virginia running for lieutenant governor as a Republican. I appreciate you coming on today. Give me your website if anybody wants to look up more about you.
John, it's timhugo.com, and I appreciate you having me. And I just ask everybody to look at all the conservatives across the state, statewide candidates, statewide conservatives, movement conservatives that are endorsing me, and there's a reason. But if you have any questions, give me a call. I'll call you back.
Thank you. Tim Hugo, here on News Radio WRVA.